May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, not being here yesterday because I was presiding at a funeral, as was Bracken was there too, I would assume the earlier part of John 18 was read, or it was read Friday 1. But I wrote a devotional yesterday, and I wanted to kind of look at that again and go a little bit deeper with it. In John 18, verse 4, he says, Jesus, therefore, knowing, and that's in the present tense, so that means there was a perpetual knowledge in the moment, each moment. He had this perpetual understanding. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, Who do you seek? This is when he's in the garden and the guards, and Judas leads the guards to him. But I love that what it says here in verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that were coming upon him. Now, this is after he had spent time in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. I remember the three times he went before the Father and said, Lord, if this cup can pass, not my will, but your will be done. There's a fascinating little bit different thing take in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, that this account of the Gethsemane moment says, Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, Sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, and again this is repeatedly said, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not I will, not I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time, and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. And he came back and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same thing once more. I'm convinced that Jesus, when he was grieved to the point of death, it says because he saw all things that were coming upon him. That seems obvious. But I don't think the thing that caused him to grieve to the point of death was that he saw all the suffering physically that was going to come upon him. I mean, that certainly was part of it. If you saw the movie Passion, the Passion, which pretty much was an authentic version of what Jesus looked like, what they did to him, no one would look forward to that. But what I think he saw, what I believe that he saw, that was the worst thing, the hardest part, is remember what 2 Corinthians 5 says. The Father made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf. He made Jesus sin. And the reason, again, that Christ came was to rescue us from the reign of sin, from the horrible spiritual disease called sin, and the destruction and brokenness the reign of sin has brought to individuals and to the earth. When you think about things like war, which I believe is probably the most hideous expression of corporate reign of sin, it's like, why do people do that to people? It's one thing if someone is coming, attacking, like Pearl Harbor would be an example, and you're put in a position where you have no choice. But even that, just the fact that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, or how the Germans with Blitzkrieg and what they did, unprovoked. What's going on now in Ukraine? Why do people think of stuff evil like, I want more territory, I want more power, I want more wealth, so much so that I'll destroy thousands or even millions upon millions of lives? And yet human beings believe that modern man has the best chance of not doing that kind of stuff to each other because education is the key to transformation. But history has proven to us that that's never been true. We live in the most educated point in human history. The German people in World War II were probably the most educated nation at that time in history. And yet, all the education does is allow people to create more sophisticated ways to kill and destroy each other. Just remarkable. And so when Jesus saw what was coming upon him, what he saw was that he was going to become sin. Now think about that. The only way to deal with sin-diseased humanity, to deal with the spiritual virus called sin that was destroying and ruining mankind, was through crucifixion, burial, and the resurrection of a new humanity that's no longer controlled by the reign of sin, the evil disease. So think about that. What Jesus saw is that he was going to become corporately fallen humanity. Every human being that had ever lived and would ever live, and every evil thing they had ever done and they had thought they had ever thought, he was going to become that, take that on. Take the culmination of that disease called sin and its impact on every human being who ever would or ever had lived. Therefore, the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, just think about you personally, me personally. Just some of the thoughts that we've had or things that we've done or attitudes that we've copped. And you think about then the people in the world today, the monsters throughout history. But we're all monsters in a sense because of the fall. And Jesus took on all of that. He took on your evil motive, the evil motives of every human being who ever has or will live. He took on your sin, my sin. He became sin. He became the disease itself. And what he says in verse 26, when he says that second time he prayed, he went away a second time and prayed, saying, and again, the language there, he said it again and again. And then he says, it's my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. What was the this he was talking about? Sin, diseased, fallen, and broken humanity. Christ came to rescue us. Christ came to make new people, new humans. And the only way for that to happen was crucifixion, resurrection. We had to die and be raised up something else, not the monsters that we were. God so loved the world. The word so there is important. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would no longer perish. The word perish means ruin. No longer live the ruinous life of a life lived under the reign of sin, but instead have life, and life as it's lived in heaven. That's what eternal life means. That's remarkable to me. And now, that's why Jesus, when he saw everything that was coming upon him, it was the sin. Sometimes you'll hear people say if they're like a near-death experience, their life flashed before them. Every life flashed before them. Every hideous thought, every hideous thing every human being would ever do or had ever done, and he saw it coming upon him. But he said, Father, if this condition can't pass away unless I drink the cup, go to the cross, your will be done. Because he was God's plan. Today's Shrove Tuesday. The word shrove comes from an old ancient word, shrive, which comes from a Germanic word which means to prescribe. Sometimes it's translated to write something down. But it's like to give a prescription. Like if you're a doctor, go to a doctor and he writes you a prescription of things to do, what to take, so that you can get better. On Shrove Tuesdays, we sometimes call it Pancake Day. Because what people do, they all have pancake dinners. There's millions around the world that'll be doing that today, preparing for Lent. Because Lent is this season of extravagantly pursuing a perfect heart towards him. And so Shrove Tuesdays really is a fun time, but it's also a time when we come together and symbolically, prophetically say, we're going to get all the leaven out. We're going to use up all the leaven. We're prepared to respond that if Jesus made me a new human by doing this, that it may pass away. Why am I tolerating it in my own life? Anything that would hinder me from being the fully functional new creation in Christ, that he so willingly paid such a horrible price. That's why Paul said in Romans, so where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Therefore, should we sin more that grace may? He said, God forbid. Don't you know that you're dead to sin when you were baptized into Christ. And so Shrove Tuesday reminds us of the prescription. What's the prescription? A deep dive into a joyfully repentant season that wants God to point out anything that hinders love toward Him. It's the prescription. It tells us Lent is the prescription for us to go farther up and farther in. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.